It is Friday, November 9th, 2012, and this is Ozarks at Large. I'm Antoinette Grajeda.
And I'm Kyle Kellums. KUAF is supported by All My Treasures, a flea market and antique mall on Highway 16 East in Fayetteville, serving interior designers, collectors, and dealers for 26 years with memorabilia, antiques, furniture, and more. Open Monday through Saturday, 10 to 6, Sundays from 1 until 6 p.m. 575-0250 for more information. And Walton Arts Center presents Letters Home Sunday afternoon at 2. The performance puts the current wars in Afghanistan and Iraq front and center with actual letters written by soldiers serving in the Middle East. In honor of Veterans Day, a limited number of free tickets will be available on a first-come, first-served basis. Tickets can be picked up at the KUAF studios at 9 South School Street in Fayetteville, 575-2556 for more information.
Ahead on Ozarks, startup companies end a more than three-month acceleration process and vie for $150,000 prizes to be used as investments in their new companies. The first-ever ARC Challenge ended yesterday at Crystal Bridges in Bentonville. And this is a time for anniversaries in the area. 20 years for Walton Art Center, 1 year of operation at Crystal Bridges Museum of American Art, and 20 years for one local store that has grown thanks to the web. Those stories and more ahead on Ozarks at Large.
But first, voter approval of a half-cent sales tax hike to raise money for Arkansas highways will raise the tax to 6.5% beginning July 1st. Scott Munsell with the Arkansas Highway and Transportation Department says none of the projects outlined in the ballot measure have yet started.
There's a few people that we need to bring on board. We're starting to look at hiring a financial advisor in terms of the bond program, and then also possibly bringing in a project manager to kind of oversee the entire program. So there's a lot of first steps that need to take place before we can actually get down to the design process and the actual work that people start to see.
He says the money will fund necessary improvements on state highways, including the widening of Interstates 40 and 540.
The Springdale Fire Department is rolling out a new information system that aims to keep residents more informed of the department's operations. Fire Chief Mike Irwin says messages from the Nixle Service will include information about daily training activities, fire prevention events, and information about the calls to which the department responded during the previous day.
It was developed for law enforcement several years ago and has just kind of came into vogue with now public safety in general. And it's an actual site that you have to sign up for. You have to get approval before you can actually post on the site and all that stuff. So it's a pretty secure site. And that's why we chose that, is because that way it's pretty selective on who can get in there and post and all that stuff. But it is free for us, and it's free for the citizens that want to sign up to get those reports.
Irwin says the idea for sending the daily reports was one he carried over from his last job in Pocatello, Idaho.
We were trying to integrate social media because that seems to be where a lot of people are beginning to pick up all of the information that they're getting now. And it was just a way for us to reach the citizens of our community to kind of give them an idea of what their fire department was doing. It's like I tell everybody, the fire department is the citizens of the communities. It's not mine or anybody else's. It's theirs. And we certainly want them to understand and know what we're doing.
Irwin says Nixle can be set up to forward posts to Facebook and Twitter. Although the department doesn't currently have a Twitter account, Irwin says the service is set up to automatically forward posts to the fire department's Facebook account. The Beaver Watershed Alliance will hold its fall fundraiser tonight at Hobbs State Park. Jason Kendall is the executive director of the organization, and he says a fundraiser has a slightly different focus than a typical fundraiser.
Folks are familiar with fundraisers, you know, gala events, signature events, even just small casual fundraising dinners. But really with what we're doing here, the focus is in getting folks together, having a good time, sharing the story of the Alliance. And there will be an opportunity for folks to make pledges and support our mission, but our primary point is to make friends and raise awareness.
Kendall says raising awareness is crucial to the organization, and awareness of water issues is what helped start the organization.
We're basically started as a kind of a grassroots organization through the Northwest Arkansas Council, who were looking at increased demands on water and nervous about water quality and wanted to make sure that we protected the resource that we had. So making sure folks in the community are aware of what we do and our mission really raises capacity for us, not just potential for finances down the road to help us fund programming, but also to seek out program partners.
Kendall says partnerships are the main way the Watershed Alliance is able to expand the outreach and education components of its mission. The fundraiser kicks off at 5:30 this evening at Hobbs State Park Visitor Center.
The Benton County Sheriff's Office is holding its annual Fall Food Drive. Proceeds from the drive go to the Northwest Arkansas Food Bank. Food Bank President Marge Wolf says this is the fifth year for the Sheriff's Office to hold a holiday food drive for the food bank.
There's just so much that comes in, and it's just great product. It's canned goods. It's shelf-life stuff that people are able to use. And you know, it used to be just over the holidays that we needed a lot of big food drives, and now it's all year round. But during the holidays, it's huge. So many people would not have things at all that would coincide basically with a holiday if it wasn't for the food drive that the Sheriff's Department does. And it's not just the Sheriff's Department. You know, the Sheriff's Department does the event, and it's wonderful. I mean, what they do for us is great. But it's all the merchants that help them.
Wolf says about 34 different businesses are partnering with the food drive this year, and proceeds from the food drive, as well as donations from a garden tended by prisoners at the Benton County Jail, come at a time when the food bank faces increased demand.
With the economy being what it is and what it has been, we don't get the donations, of course, that we used to get because of the economy, quite frankly. Many of the people that used to donate to the food bank, unfortunately, some of those people are in line now getting food from different pantries. So, yes, I just can't begin to tell you how much this helps the community.
All told, Wolf says everything the Benton County Sheriff's Office has contributed over the past 5 years totals up to about £25,000.
The newest park in Bentonville opened today as Austin Baggett Park. If those names are familiar to Bentonville listeners, that's because the park located on Southeast D Street is named after long-serving aldermen Eddie Austin and Mary Baggett. According to a press release from the Bentonville Parks Department, Austin is a longtime Bentonville resident and has served on the council since November of 1986. During his time on the council, he advocated for public parks and facilities to benefit the families who live in Bentonville. Baggett is a Bentonville native and was elected as the first woman to serve on the city council in 1972. She resigned from the council to work for the city, working directly for six mayors. She rejoins the city council in 2001 and is serving her 11th consecutive year on the council.
The Arkansas Men's Soccer Club Saturday will host its first home playoff game in 4 years. Arkansas faces the University of Oklahoma in the Oklahoma Collegiate Club Soccer League playoff at 1 at the University Recreation Sports Complex in Fayetteville. A victory would push Arkansas into the championship game at 3 Sunday afternoon. Even if the team doesn't make it into Sunday's Oklahoma League Championship, the men's soccer club will travel to Memphis, Tennessee next week to compete in the National Intramural Recreational Sport Association's National Soccer Championship. The trip will be the club's first appearance in the national tournament.
Tonight's weather forecast calls for partly cloudy conditions with a low in the upper 50s. Tomorrow, expect partly cloudy skies with a high in the low to mid 70s. And tomorrow night, expect mostly cloudy conditions with a 20% chance of rain and thunderstorms and a low in the upper 50s to lower 60s.
This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Kyle Kellums. With me on the phone from his office in Fort Smith is Michael Tilley. He's the editor and publisher of thecitywire.com. Michael, I know that you're very interested in entrepreneurs and the entrepreneurial spirit. Yesterday, I was at Crystal Bridges for the announcement at the end of the Arc Challenge. I know Kim Souza from thecitywire.com was there. I think you would have enjoyed it had you been able to see these 15 startups and their ideas.
Well, I seriously thought about being there. We had the tape the CityWire show yesterday, or I would have been there, and was very surprised and pleased to hear of Governor Beebe's announcement at the end of that.
Yeah, he made a third award possible. We'll have more on that in just a bit on Ozarks at Large. The bad news is that Brenda's Bigger Burger, which has been open for nearly 50 years here, is shutting down has shut down in Fayetteville.
Well, yeah, I mean that's just not right.
No,
and we have the stress of an election, and then we lose a joint like that. I mean, maybe the Mayans were correct.
It could be. The Mayans knew that life without those onion rings from Brenda's Bigger Burger would be perhaps not worth living. Okay, you mentioned the election. Let's first talk about what it means for the Arkansas legislature, because the Arkansas House and Senate will be controlled by Republicans for the first time since Reconstruction.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. This may be, I think we're going to be able to watch the dog catch the car and see what it does. In the Senate, on Thursday, they elected new leadership. Looks like Michael Amaro, Republican from Russellville, will be the new Senate president. Aaron Rodgers, Cecile Bledsoe, Senator Bledsoe, will head up the Public Health, Welfare, and Labor Committee, an important committee down in Fort Smith. Jake Files, Republican from Fort Smith, will head up the Revenue and Taxation Committee, which could be ground zero in the upcoming legislative session, because a lot of the budget matters that are raised have to go through that committee. So I asked him yesterday if that's really what he wanted. You know, did he know what he was asking for? And he said yes. So we have, there are 21 Republicans now in the Senate. We think there will probably be 51
in the House.
Republicans in the House. So that's control there. But interestingly enough, it was flip-flopped, Kyle, from what we thought. We thought there'd be 56 or 60 Republicans in the House, and just over, you know, maybe 19. You need 18 in the Senate to have control, and they just have 19, and it went the other way. The Republicans didn't do near as well in the House races as they thought they would. Like in Northwest Arkansas, you had David Whitaker, Democrat there in Fayetteville, beat Paul Graham, a Republican from Farmington, for that district. That was a surprise, and the margin was even a surprise. Whitaker did very well in that race. So, yeah, this will be... You know, you and I have covered politics for, we probably don't want to say how long, but this will be one of the most interesting legislative sessions I've ever seen.
Well, you know, Governor Beebe earlier this week said, well, now think about it. It's still a small margin. There's going to have to be compromise. Doug Thompson, who writes for Northwest Arkansas newspaper, says many Democrats in Arkansas for a long time have been as conservative as Republicans in other states, and says, well, maybe this won't be that big a difference. What do you think?
Well, I don't know. There's an unknown. You know, there. You had Americans for Prosperity, and you had a few other of these far right groups who, you know, they spend a lot of money on some of these races, and so these outside groups don't spend money just because they, you know, think it's fun. They expect a little bit of loyalty back, and you know, they have some tax reduction plans, and they want to change the public school systems. And so there's a lot of folks that are beholden to them, and I'm also concerned a little bit. I mean, you had a Republican Party, you know, whose head is Doyle Webb, who they would not essentially do the right thing and reject some of the rants, these crazy rants of three Republican candidates. You know, these guys who said slavery was a good thing, and, you know, if a child's too rebellious, there's biblical law to support, you know, their execution. Just nut jobs. Running in the House, and the Republican Party wouldn't back away from them. So if they're not willing to back away from that, I have a little bit of concern about their ability to compromise on some of their core principles, because they don't want to look like moderates. I mean, you look in Northwest Arkansas, Tim Summers, some of those moderate Republicans mm-hmm. got killed in the primary. So you've got that. But on the other hand, you had, for example, Jake Files, Fort Smith, over in the Senate side, you know, interviewed him yesterday, and he talked about, you know, we have to compromise. There is bipartisanship, and we can't be focused on the next election. I think his take was he wants to be responsible and reasonable and, I think, pragmatic, and he said his job is to look 20 years down the road when he's looking at tax policy. So there are cooler heads in both chambers. We will see if they will be allowed to prevail.
I think they might still be counting some ballots in Benton County.
Well, that's nuts. I mean, did they not know an election was coming?
Well, you know, the election, people in charge of the election said they ran out of ballots and they had to print others, and they were, I guess, somewhat surprised by the turnout. And then you had some wrong ballots going to places, and one of the comments made was, well, voters should look at the sample ballot and know whether they've got the right ballot or not.
Well, yeah, I think that's a weak that's a weak argument. I mean, the voters should expect that when they show up, the folks in charge of the election have done their job. That's what voters should expect, number one. Number two, how did you not know there was not going to be a turnout? That's what I'd like to ask these folks.
There was a wet-dry issue as well as a presidential issue.
Yes, and your early voting trends were through the roof. They were through the roof all over the state, all over the country, in fact. And I've heard some argue, well, they thought with the number of early voters there wouldn't be that many you know, coming in on election day. Well, if that was their bet, that was a risky bet. But and now I see they're trying to blame money. We don't have enough money. We need the quorum court and just give us more money to fund more machines and that type of thing. It just I would hope that they would have some answers and have some answers fast about this. I mean, you had people standing in lines to vote well after 10 p.m. On Tuesday. I'll be surprised if there's not some type of lawsuit from some voter alleging disenfranchisement over all this.
Well, especially if you voted, you know, earlier in the day when those wrong ballots were, and there were some, I believe, city council race that people who were supposed to vote for that, they didn't have the right ballot and now are unable to ever cast a vote in that race.
Right. Well, I mean, you just made the case for that possible lawsuit. It still just baffles me, Kyle, how, because these are fundamentals. At the end of the day, these are fundamentals that an election commission is supposed to handle, and it just didn't happen. I mean, if this is like a football team not being able to just basically block and tackle. Of course, I guess with this year with the Hogs, maybe that I shouldn't raise that.
I knew you were going to go there. Finally, there's an interesting development in the saga of USA Truck that you discuss currently on thecitywire.com.
Yes, after markets closed on Thursday, USA Truck sent out a fairly complicated press release. They're essentially trying to put a plan in place. They call it a stockholders' rights plan, but it's essentially a plan that keeps someone from coming in and buying up the company on the cheap, because their shares are down below $3 a share. And, you know, if somebody wanted to come in, essentially raid the company for its assets, for its market share, it's at a great price to do that right now, and the company's wanting to prevent that from happening. So they've put some provisions in place. They've changed some management around, or board members around. Put a board member in charge who is has a track record for corporate turnaround. So we'll see. I don't think USA Truck has too much more time to get this thing around. If the way the trends are going this year, this will be their fourth consecutive year of posting income losses.
Well, it's a complicated matter, and you discuss it further at thecitywire.com.
Yes.
Michael Tilley is the editor and publisher of thecitywire.com. And don't forget the City Wire television show tomorrow at 8 on KXNWA. Sunday morning at 7. Is it now on 7 on KFSM?
7 a.m. Sunday. And Kyle Kellums is back on it this week.
Yes, yes. So there you go. Michael, thank you so much.
Yes, sir.
On this week's Generic Blues Show, we have Phil Berkowitz, Trampled Underfoot, Anna Popovic, Hash Brown, David Johnson and his fabulous high tops, Craig Chiquiso, and more. That's every Friday night at 9 o'clock, the Generic Blues Show. We'll see you then.
This election season, you heard about jobs, creating them, losing them, green ones, manufacturing ones. The entrepreneurial spirit that can lead to jobs was on full display yesterday at Crystal Bridges Museum of American Art in Bentonville. There, the final day of the first ever Art Challenge ended with three startups receiving $150,000 each for investment. 15 startups yesterday morning had their chance to pitch their web-based concepts to a room full of investors. The entrepreneurs had been part of the first ever ARC Challenge since early August, working long hours to prepare for their big pitch. Jeanette Baeza, the director of the ARC Challenge, watched as each team offered their ideas for new companies.
You know, we started this program on August 6th. You were there during the launch on March 14th. That was when we first made our call for applications. We were floored when we got 83 applications from 14 different countries, 14 different states. So when we selected 15, you know, August 6th came, and when they all walked in that door from different corners of the world, from all over the state, from within Arkansas, it was pretty surreal. And today is the day where it's all sort of come together.
The ARC Challenge is a mentorship-driven exercise that allowed the chosen applicants to work on their business dreams from the shared workspace called the Iceberg in Fayetteville. Each of the 15 teams worked toward yesterday's event for the right to be selected by a panel of investors to receive $150,000. The project started with funds from the Department of Commerce, but the investment awards were completely raised through the private sector. Partners for the first ARC Challenge included the University of Arkansas, Winrock International, Northwest Arkansas Community College, the Global Accelerator Network, and others. When the day began, there were to be two big winners. By noon, however, that had changed.
But I've asked our Director of Economic Development, to include a third company so that we can actually get.
Governor Mike Beebe surprised everybody by committing another $150,000 prize from state coffers. Again, the director of the ARC Challenge, Jeanette Baeza.
It was a very big surprise. Governor Mike Beebe came in and pretty much wowed us all with that announcement. He was just so excited about the quality of the pitches that he heard today that he said that he didn't just want two companies to get funding today. He wanted three companies to leave here with the runway that they need to really build out the vision that they presented today to the investors. And what's wonderful about these demo days is within the ARC Challenge, the way it's structured, there are those two companies that are selected, and now this surprise third. But this room is full of angel investors and VCs who want an early look. So there is all the potential in the world for these other companies to receive the funding that they want from individuals that are in the room apart from the program.
Each of the startups had their own display inside the great room at Crystal Bridges, and during a lunch break and later during a mixer, potential investors pored over material and asked the founders of the new ventures questions. Natasia Malihalo is one of those entrepreneurs. She's co-founder of something called Sooligan. Natasia describes Sooligan as a program to digitize word of mouth.
We make it very fun, fast, and easy to for you to find local information about any city from anywhere. You know, sometimes when you move into a city and you don't have friends and family there, it becomes really difficult to find local information that has that word of mouth. And so, you know, it's extremely valuable in a new city, and that's what we provide. You don't have to know anyone in that city to get that word of mouth recommendations and advice and valuable insight.
Sooligan aggregates information and comments from sites like Yelp and Google to provide answers to questions in real time about a particular city. So if you're on Dixon Street in Fayetteville at 10:30 and don't know what restaurant is still making burgers, Sooligan is designed to help instantly. And the social component offers raves and rants about local flavor. Sooligan launched in Fayetteville, but will be in New Orleans in time for the Super Bowl in February. Natasia and her co-founder came to Arkansas from Berkeley, California, just for the ARC Challenge. She says she thought Northwest Arkansas could be a better place to attract attention instead of the already crowded startup field in Berkeley.
You're one of a million. Here, we're kind of one in a few, and so you get the attention. The ARC, the mentors, they've all been very, very focused. And, you know, whenever you when you call someone with a question, they give you an instant answer, provide you instant help. And if they can't provide, they find you someone that wants to. And, like, one of our mentors, same reason why we're going to the Super Bowl is that, you know, he told us, well, you guys need to go viral, and some ways that you guys need to think about it is going to large events. And he actually suggested going to the Super Bowl. He had connections that helped us bridge that, you know, make that connection, get that situated for us.
Sooligan didn't win one of the three prizes yesterday, but still has received interest during the challenge to expand the product. It's a good bet the man behind Formeto will also receive plenty of interest. Their idea is to connect local farmers to local retailers through digital means. Grocery store owners would stay in direct contact with local farmers and tell them what produce they specifically are looking for. David Tanner, one of the founders of Formeto, says the concept has benefits for both farmer and retailer.
There are several advantages. It improves the profitability of small farmers taking their product directly to market. It decreases petroleum usage because food is traveling less distance to make it to the shelves. And with our site, they're able to deliver a product that meets the needs of retailers better because our tool or our website offers the tools that they need to deliver product that's up to spec.
Colin Shaw and Sam Friday are the other co-founders. Their work on Formeto since early August, the beginning of the ARC Challenge, has allowed them to interview farmers and retailers to refine their design. Sam Friday says the big goal is ambitious, to change the way local food is delivered to customers around the world.
So good quality food is something that's really important to us, and also as well as our local communities. We're all from, you know, Arkansas. You know, we've all lived in the Northwest Arkansas area for quite a long time, and providing a website or for retailers to list what they want allows farmers to be able to grow for what they know they can sell instead of for what they hope they can sell.
Formeto wasn't picked for one of the $150,000 awards either yesterday, but a startup called Batiks was. The idea behind Batiks, a company with Kansas City and Northwest Arkansas roots, is to provide a social platform to help independent retail stores efficiently sell on social networks. Sarah Beck is a co-founder of Batiks.
So not only are we going to help them sell more effectively, we're building a mobile app to drive new customers and foot traffic into their stores. So we want to take them from local recognition to national recognition and beyond, so that we can help elevate the community as a whole.
Sarah says the time she and her co-founder, Will Carter, were allowed to have since summer to specifically work on their company is an experience she can't place a price tag on. It was so valuable. That's a sentiment echoed by Mark Brannon, CEO and person in charge of sales and marketing for StackSearch, another one of yesterday's recipients of $150,000 of investment.
One of the greatest benefits we've had is just it's been able to allow us to focus 100% on the product. Before, both of us had to have other gigs in order to make money, and the ARC Challenge made it possible for us to focus 100%, and it accelerated the time to market, accelerated our product development. The mentorship made a huge difference, you know, the doors that were opened.
StackSearch, co-founded by Sloan Ahrens, allows e-commerce sites to better streamline and optimize search efforts by customers. The advice StackSearch and the other 14 firms received was provided by local and regional business people. Amy Reeves Robinson was a mentor for the winning company Batiks, and yesterday she seemed as excited as her proteges. Amy says the work over the past several weeks for the Batiks co-founders paid off.
Coming into the competition, they actually had a different idea of what company that they were going to do. And as they struggled with it, they made the decision to do what I call a pivot, which is to completely change their model. And they changed it later on in the company, in the competition. And so, you know, they kind of lost time in that. But once they decided on it, it kind of led itself. So really what the mentoring process looks like is talking to them and asking them good questions, helping them identify their market, helping them put their presentation together, and really diving deep. When a company is so close to what it is that they do, it's hard for them to see it from any other perspective. So mentoring brings that outside perspective and that outside kind of expertise. And just, I would have to say that mentoring is really about asking good questions.
The third winner yesterday was MindWhat, a web service that wants to bring the sales clerk's assistance from the brick and mortar world to the online shopping experience. Other startups that participated included firms that will connect customers directly to advertisers in a number of ways. Many of those who participated are already involved in the next step of launching their company to a wider audience. And the companies are likely to help each other over the next few months and years. Mark Brannon, with winner StackSearch, says all 15 were pulling for each other.
We're not competitors with any of them in the marketplace, so we are clearly rooting for them. And yeah, it's true that today we're competing, but, you know, today everybody can truly be a winner.
The second ARC Challenge is already planned, and recruitment has already begun. You can learn more about the first and the upcoming second ARC Challenge at arcchallenge.org. Those 15 startups at Crystal Bridges could benefit from a conversation with the owners of the business Nature's Water in Fayetteville. The family-owned business celebrates 20 years of operation this weekend. The owners, Humsa and Moshe Newmark, will mark the anniversary, as many businesses do, with sales on their products such as water filters. The company could be a poster child for business growth from the late 20th to early 21st century. They began small in their house and grew up with the Internet. Now the company has loyal customers both locally and thousands of miles away. Last week I sat down with the owners and their son Hadi, who is set to take over the business, about how Nature's Water evolved and where it goes next. Here are some of those comments.
Our business did not start in this location. It started at home. And Moshe and me, we started it together, and it was very small. But we hit the jackpot with one account. It became so successful that it became too large to have business at home. And that's when we looked around, and that's when we found this place. So it started small in our home, and then we expanded when we were able to expand, and we purchased this building, and then we've been here ever since.
This building actually has quite a history. It started in the 1930s as Campbell's convenience store, a package store, a general store. It was a gas station. They sold alcohol. Later on, it morphed into a nightclub, a church, a bar. We actually kind of flashback to the 1980s. Humps and I were involved with international humanitarian aid projects in Central America and became acutely aware of water problems, high infant mortality due to parasites, bacteriological contamination. In fact, that was the thrust of our work, to help build potable water systems for poor rural communities. Came back here. Well, actually, we didn't work down there. We were here and we had field workers there. But we then became aware that this country also has problems with water, but not bacteriologically necessarily, although that may be in some places, but chemically. There is a lot of pollution in the water that is carcinogenic, that in the long term can cause degenerative illness. And it's important to be able to have pure water in our lives. We're 80% water.
Once we went to Miami, I just wanted to make sure, in one of their most beautiful stores, there was our shower filter. Nobody had really, we were kind of the first people that really marketed a refillable shower filter. So it was really amazing to go in this amazing shopping center and take pictures of our filter and Sharper Image. So, but that changed when shower filtration became more popular, and then the internet picked up, and now it is a very, very competitive business.
We use all of our paper as 100% post-consumer waste. We reuse all packing material. We don't ever have to buy any packing material. With shipments that we receive, we reuse all the material. We reuse boxes as long as they're clean and in good shape. I mean, really from A to Z, our practices are, this is by far the most green company I've ever worked for. And, you know, it's a little easier because you're a smaller business, but I mean, if more businesses could adopt these kind of practices, I mean.
There's a business two doors down, is a Volvo repair person, and he has very, very good business, and all his parts, big or small, all come with packing material. He brings us all his packing material, you know, these airbags. Nowadays, that's the most economical, most environmental way to package goods. So we trade, he gets free water filtration from us, and we get free packing material, and it works out really great.
I would say follow your love, follow your passion. Don't worry about the obstacles. Look for the green lights, not the red lights, because there are a million red lights if you look for them, and you will not persevere if that's what you're looking for. They will come along, and you will deal with them as they come along. But love what you do. We loved the idea, and we loved starting this business, and it was a passion for us.
We have a lot of elderly customers, and I have the freedom to be like, you know what? Let me take $5 off your cards. Let me take $10 off your order. It sounds like you really need it. And it's things like that, too, that really make people remember us. I have the freedom and ability to assess a customer and give them the price that more fits them and fits their situation. So that's something that's nice, that I feel good about.
It's very exciting for Humps and I to be able to pass this business along to Hadi, our son, and his wife, Rochelle. They're going to be taking over our business shortly. And it's a real feeling of pride that we've had a business for 20 years, and instead of it just disappearing, we actually get to see it grow with the next generation. It's very exciting and rewarding.
We heard from the owners of Nature's Water in Fayetteville, Humsa and Moshe Newmark, and the future owner, Hadi Newmark, their son. Their comments were made last week at their store on Huntsville Road in Fayetteville. Beginning tomorrow, the family business celebrates 20 years in operation. Yeah. It is Friday, November 9th, 2012. I'm Kyle Kellums.
I'm Antoinette Grajeda.
With us in the Anthony and Susan Hoy News Studio is Becca Martin Brown. She is features editor at Northwest Arkansas Newspapers.
Holy cow, it's November 9th.
Yes, it is.
Yes.
Yeah, we keep doing that. But this is special because Monday is my daughter's birthday.
Hooray.
And keep in mind that many city businesses and services and mail will not be operating Monday because of the observance of Veterans Day.
And we'll talk about that, something about that on Sunday.
Okay.
Excellent.
But this is a great theater weekend.
Mm-hmm.
It's a great music weekend. There's a bunch of other cool stuff going on.
Okay.
So you know where we're going.
I do.
Back to our old faithful Chinese menu.
All right. Column A, B, C.
Yes, and column A is theater, because I can.
Because, of course.
In his diary for April 22, 1941, playwright Noel Coward wrote, "Spent the morning discussing financial troubles, which are considerable. Also discussed play as possible solution, title Blithe Spirit. Very gay, superficial comedy about a ghost. Feel it may be good."
And it was. Should have helped him out with that financial problem, too.
One would think. 2,000 performances in London the first time. Almost 700 performances on Broadway the first time, a film in 1945 with Rex Harrison, and revivals
ever since.
This weekend, it's at University Theater in Fayetteville under the direction of drama professor Mavourneen Dwyer. Mm-hmm. I talked to the actress playing Madame Arcadi. I believe that's the leading role. Okay, here's the story. A socialite, a male socialite who's been widowed and remarried, decides to have a seance. Won't that be clever? And he can write about it. And so he hires Madame Arcadi, who kind of accidentally conjures up the spirit of his first wife, who then refuses to leave, much to the chagrin of his second wife.
Yes.
Yes. Missy Marmara is playing Madame Arcadi, and she said the best thing. She said, "Mavourneen would be the ultimate Madame Arcadi, but she can't play it because she's directing it." According to her, the only way to portray Madame Arcadi is as one of those women who are dignified but very interesting in terms of their kookiness. It's a really fun show. 8 o'clock today and Saturday, 2 o'clock Sunday, and again next weekend at University Theater in Fayetteville. Tickets are $16 for adults. Also in theater, You're a Good Man, Charlie Brown. 7:30 today and tomorrow at the Berry Performing Arts Center in Siloam Springs. It's a production of the JBU Musical Theater Workshop.
And another play that comes with a Broadway pedigree. It was quite popular when it debuted on Broadway.
And a play that is building its pedigree. Checks and Balances, a world premiere production of a new drama by Orrin Softy. You might recognize the name Softy. His dad was the architect for Crystal Bridges. Mm-hmm. Showtimes are 8 o'clock today and tomorrow, 2 o'clock Sunday. This is the final weekend.
Orrin himself has a degree in architecture.
He does.
As well as his MFA.
Right. Little Women is on stage at the Fort Smith Little Theater. There's a pedigree.
Yes.
Tickets are $10 for performances at 8 o'clock today and tomorrow and 2:30 on Sunday.
You have a favorite character from Little Women?
I don't. I've never been that crazy about it.
I liked it a lot when I was much younger.
Okay, I like it now.
I was when I was much younger, I was reading Bram Stoker.
Okay.
I mean, I don't dislike it now. I just remember discovering it as like a probably a teenager.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Joe is my favorite.
Joe,
character.
Yeah.
Yeah. I guess that's a given, right?
Okay. Well, for me, anyways.
Yeah.
And Scrooge the Musical is on stage, part of the Academy of Arts Showtime series.
Right.
2 and 7 tomorrow at Breedlove Auditorium in Fort Smith. Tickets are $10. And yes, I once dated someone that Scrooge was their favorite character. Sigh. Column B is music. Starlight Jazz tonight.
Two shows.
7 and 9 o'clock at the Walton Arts Center. Jane Bunnett with Hilario Duran and special guest Candido Camero.
Candido is 90 plus and still playing as strong as ever, I'm told.
Isn't that amazing? And tickets,
living legend.
Tickets start at $11.
Mm-hmm.
Sarah Hughes has a CD release party tonight.
How about that?
9 o'clock at George's Majestic Lounge. The new CD is called Live No Chaser. Oh. Tickets are $10. The Claudia Burson Jazz Trio and the Ozarks Chorale perform at 4 o'clock tomorrow at the Holiday Island Clubhouse near Eureka Springs. Christmas show, Sounds of the Season. Tickets are $10. And the Wailers are in town.
Yes, they are.
reggae? Is that a fair assessment?
Oh, yes, absolutely, yes.
You know, I don't speak music. I know that they're here at 8 o'clock Saturday at the Walton Arts Center, and people are very excited.
Yes,
tickets start at $16. And I'm excited because Eileen Ivers, the Irish fiddle player, is in town next week. She was with Riverdance and Cherish the Ladies, and she's playing at 7 o'clock Thursday at the Walton Arts Center in Fayetteville. This is a $10 ticket, folks.
She has a couple of Grammys on her mantle as well.
Oh, wow.
She's amazing. And other cool stuff.
This is Column C.
This is Column C.
Other cool stuff. Thank you.
You're welcome.
The Friends of the Fayetteville Public Library book sale is 9 to noon tomorrow.
They say it's their biggest ever, which
be
means
afraid.
It's going to be big.
Yeah. Oh. Which means we should all not go. Now we'll all go. There's a symposium tomorrow at the Shiloh Museum in Springdale that I'm really excited about. It's called Other Voices, Civil War in the Ozarks. And I talked to a gentleman from Oklahoma who is an expert in how the Civil War affected Indian Territory and the Cherokee Nation in particular. If you don't know anything about this topic, you really need to go to this symposium. It's 9:30 to 3:30 at the Shiloh Museum. There will also be Civil War books available. Pat Carr will be signing her new book, Death of a Confederate Colonel, and David Atwood will be signing When the Mockingbird Sang and I Followed the Wolf. And all of this is
free.
Free.
That's something else.
And there's an owl prowl tomorrow night.
Hobbs.
One of the first of the season at Hobbs State Park. It starts at 5:30 with Bob and Kathy Ross, and that's just $5.
And don't most owl prowls, which is hard for me to say, don't they start? You go with someone who's pretty good at mimicking an owl, and you try to get the owls to answer back?
I've never had a conversation with an owl.
Well, nor have I. But isn't that the premise?
I would assume.
To try to hear them and see them?
Okay. I would really like to go because they're fascinating creatures. My only owl contact has been at Renaissance festivals when they fly them.
Mm. But not in the wild.
No, not in the wild.
Okay.
That's it.
Okay. Well,
I'm done.
That's a lot.
Thank you, Becca. Becca Martin Brown is features editor at Northwest Arkansas Newspapers.
President Obama got a little cocky after winning re-election. He came out on stage, took a long drag in a cigarette, flicked the ash on Biden and said, "You want me to stick around? Let me check my calendar." I'm Peter Sagal. It was a little much when he was texting the whole time. Join us for a post-election Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me from NPR.
Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me tomorrow morning at 9 on KUAF 91.3 FM.
Sunday is Veterans Day, and there are observances throughout the Arkansas River Valley and Northwest Arkansas. A parade dedicated to veterans will take place in Springdale Sunday afternoon at 2:30. Special events begin at the community clinic in Springdale an hour earlier. This morning, I was able to make a cell phone connection with Steve Gray, the president of the Northwest Arkansas Veterans Day Association. He also serves as the military liaison for Senator John Bozeman as he was traveling along Highway 7 between Harrison and Jasper. He pulled off the road for a few minutes to tell me about Sunday's parade, which is open not just to veterans, but any group with a banner thanking veterans for their service.
Years past, it was the parade of the year. I mean, really, we didn't have Christmas parades and we didn't have other parades for various entities or efforts. And it really was our big parade of the year. And over the time, it's just sort of lost its significance. So actually back in 1999, the Lions Club, who puts up a lot of the flags in the on the businesses on every national holiday, decided to orchestrate a parade. We had a parade in the area for years, and I was a part of that Lions Club back then. And then the next year, they decided to sort of not get involved. So that's when we created this Northwest Arkansas Veterans Day Association and been putting on parades since. What's interesting is we could get a lot of folks in the parade, but not a lot of folks to sit on the sidelines to say thank you. So we took a hiatus a couple of years back, and we're shamed into getting back at this because of a young lady by the name of Crystal Osborne. Her two children are named Justice and Liberty, by the way. And she put on a parade 2 years ago in Fayetteville with about maybe 15 or so entrants, 20 entrants. And we said, all right, we need to do this, and we don't care who's on the sidelines or not. So
I love the simple approach to if you want to be in, come.
Absolutely. Yeah, this is about recognizing our win. In fact, we're going to have 7 World War II veterans as our grand marshals, 5 male and 2 female. And we always get great support out of our car clubs in the area, the British Club, Thunderbirds, Corvette clubs. And we'll pile those folks in, and they'll be the first ones out to be recognized. We're going to have a little blurb on every single entity in the parade. We're going to have a little narrative so we can brag about them. We're going to have a couple of junior high school bands. Highlander bagpipers always add a lot. And then we're going to have some of our assisted living folks from Butterfield and Arkansas, anybody else who can muster up some of our older veterans and put them in a bus and bring them out. It should be just a great day. We're praying for good weather. I understand there are going to be some clouds in the area, but unfortunately, last time we did it at Springdale, it did rain before the parade, so I hope that's not the jinx this year. But
we've talked about the parade, but I do want to ask you about, you're on the road, you're between Jasper and Harrison, and some of the reason you're on the road, you've been meeting with some veterans today.
Well, we have. I try to get out to our veteran service officers. There are 75 counties, and I try to visit with them. And in my other capacity as the military liaison for the center, I try to do that as much as I can. I think it's important to keep that network going and for them to understand that we're wanting to tackle a lot of the different issues. And I went by a nursing home that we had presented medals to a couple of years ago, one of the veterans there, and I thought, doggone, I'm going to go in there and see how many are still around and give them a pat on the back. And most of them, one guy's 99 years old. In fact, we presented him a Bronze Star medal out of Coal Hill about 10 years ago. And he fought in the Philippines and liberated a prison camp. And as he turned the corner, he saw his older brother there, one that the whole family thought had perished. And it was just really quite a story. And so it was a kick. It was really enjoyable to recognize these folks. You know, they didn't ask for an awful lot, and they donned the uniform and fought for our freedom. And I think it's only right to give them some recognition.
All right, the parade, absolutely free, is Sunday afternoon along Emma and Springdale. Festivities begin at 1:30. Steve, please drive carefully, and thanks for your time.
Well, thank you, Kyle. Take care.
Steve Gray is the president of the Northwest Arkansas Veterans Day Association and serves as military liaison for Senator John Bozeman. He talked to me about the Veterans Day Parade along Emma Avenue in Springdale that begins 2:30 Sunday afternoon. Other events begin at 1:30. Our conversation took place this morning while he was stopped along Highway 7 between Jasper and Harrison.
This is Ozarks at Large.
And here is the Writer's Almanac for Friday. It's the 9th of November, 2012. It's the anniversary of Kristallnacht, the night in 1938 when German Nazis coordinated a nationwide attack on Jewish homes and businesses and synagogues. More than 1,000 synagogues were burned or destroyed. About 7,500 Jewish businesses looted, Jewish hospitals, homes, schools, cemeteries vandalized. Before that night, the Nazis had killed people secretly and individually. And after Kristallnacht, the Nazis felt free to persecute the Jews openly because they knew that nobody would stop them. It's the birthday of the poet Anne Sexton, born Newton, Massachusetts, 1928, she said of her childhood, "I was locked in my room until the age of 5. After that, at home or away from it, people seemed out of reach." She never went to college. She eloped when she was 19, became a housewife, had a nervous breakdown at the age of 28, tried to commit suicide, and her psychiatrist advised her to try writing poetry as therapy. She did, and the next year she took a poetry seminar with the poet Robert Lowell, who admired her work. And within a few years of having written her first poems, she had published in more than 40 magazines, The New Yorker, Harper's, and many others. For the rest of her life, Anne Sexton was in and out of mental hospitals, on and off psychiatric drugs. She said poetry was what kept her alive. She said, "My fans think I got well, but I didn't. I just became a poet." Her collection, Live or Die, won the Pulitzer Prize in 1966. She committed suicide in 1974. And it's the birthday of the astronomer Carl Sagan, Brooklyn, 1934, professor of astronomy at Cornell University, who at a time when most other astronomers were focusing on distant stars and other galaxies, Sagan focused his research on our own solar system. It was Carl Sagan who persuaded NASA to send the Viking and Voyager and Galileo planetary missions with cameras aboard to get close-up photographs of the outer planets and their moons. He was popular on television, appeared many times on Johnny Carson, and created the TV show Cosmos, the most popular scientific television program ever produced. Here's a poem for today by Thomas R. Smith, entitled Ode to the Vinyl Record. The needle lowers into the groove, and I'm home. It could be any record I've lived with and loved a long time, Springsteen or Rodrigo, Ray Charles or Emmylou Harris. Not only the music, but the whirlpool shimmering on the turntable, funneling blackly down into the ocean of the ear. Even the background pops and hisses, a worn record wraps the music in. Creaturely imperfections, so hospitable to our own. Since those first Beatles and Stones LPs plopped down spindles on record players, we opened like tiny suitcases at sweaty junior high parties while parents were out. How many nights I've pulled around my desires a vinyl record's cloak of flaws and found it a perfect fit. The crackling unclarity and turbulence of the country's lo-fi basement heart, madly spinning, making its big, dark sound. Ode to the Vinyl Record by Thomas R. Smith, from The Foot of the Rainbow, published by Red Dragonfly Press and used by permission here on the Writer's Almanac, supported by the Poetry Foundation. iPad users can download the three most recent issues of Poetry Magazine, celebrating its centennial in 2012, at poetryfoundation.org. Written by Joy Biles, be well, do good work, and keep in touch.
A listener-supported service of the Department of Journalism and Fulbright College of Arts and Sciences at the University of Arkansas. This is KUAF 91.3 FM, Fayetteville, Rogers, Fort Smith, Springdale.
All right, let's see. Mm-hmm. Should remind folks that the Letters Home event that takes place at Walton Arts Center Sunday afternoon at 2, mm-hmm. there are tickets at KUAF.
Free tickets.
We've got not all of them left. It started with 50, fewer than that, but all you have to do is come by and claim them. We'll promise that someone will be at the front desk to give you those tickets till 4:30 this afternoon.
Yep.
All right. Had fun at Crystal Bridges yesterday in the Great Hall for the ARC Challenge, the first ever ARC Challenge.
Excellent. I missed that, but last night, Becca Martin Brown and I went to the 5x5 jazz auction and jazz soiree at the Art Center of the Ozarks in Springdale, one of our favorite events. It's a good time. I came home with some art. She came home with a lot more art.
As she is wont to do. Well attended?
It was well attended, yes. They got to show off their the renovations that they've had, some fresh coats of paint. So I think the lobby actually still had some of the really fresh paint, you know. So they all seemed quite pleased. It seemed like a good event. It's always a good event. Quick, but yeah.
And the new look, Art Center of the Ozarks.
The new look, still working on it, yeah, but looking good.
Very good. Let's see. Christina Thomas and I will be together Sunday morning at 9 for our usual weekend edition of Ozarks at Large. I'll be back Monday. You and I back together on Tuesday.
Do you have big weekend plans?
A wedding tonight, and then not much else. I mean, I don't think I do.
Good for you.
Yeah. You?
Birthdays. I have three birthdays tomorrow.
Not yours.
Not mine. But three different birthday to celebrate.
All right. Well, weddings, birthdays, good times.
Good times.
Ozarks at Large, a production of KUF. I'm Kyle Kellums.
I'm Antoinette Grajeda.
Happy weekend.